Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thanks very much. We talked earlier on, I think, about cantering. The first two presenters talked about cantering. I'll try and get to a gallop so we can get to the panel and lunch. I'm one of the directors in Children and Family Services in Nottingham City Council. I was invited to talk to you about a health and wellbeing board angle to troubled families, and that's what I'll intend to do, and try and just talk to you in a bit more detail than perhaps we get chance to do about the leadership and the political side of this agenda. And I think we've touched on that during the morning, but perhaps not in any great detail. And there are a couple of points I want to make, really. First is that certainly I'm arguing that there's some good logic locally in Nottingham for the way we've designed the governance arrangements around what we call priority families in Nottingham, which is troubled families, through the Health and Wellbeing Board, which is a shadow arrangement in Nottingham at the moment, as it is in many other authority areas, moving to full executive status in 2013. The second thing I think I want to argue is that there's mutual benefit in doing that, both for the programme but also for local arrangements around the board and the development of that board arrangement, which, as you'll know, is a statutory arrangement next year. And then finally, really a word or two about how our partnership relationships in Nottingham are maturing really well, and that's a really important backdrop for us in Nottingham in terms of how we're making this work. So the summary slide just says I'm going to say a word or two about Priority Families, PF for short, and the Health and Wellbeing Board in Nottingham, and then say a bit about the rationale as to why we've shaped it the way we have, probably quite critically what's changed in the year or so since we've been doing it this way. I'll pick up some of the benefits on that bullet point, and then almost inevitably list a range of risks. For my own mental health, I've kept that slide quite short. And then in conclusion, just really emphasise and summarise some of those key points. So the Shadow Health and Wellbeing Board in Nottingham City has been up and running for about 12 months, 6 months' worth of planning before that, has very strong cross-portfolio political engagement and is a well-engaged shadow board. It's there, for those of you who don't know, certainly in Nottingham, it's there to reduce health inequalities across the city, but also to oversee some of the transition arrangements, public health, for example, £17 million odd of work in Nottingham City to oversee those transition arrangements. At the bottom of the slide there, Priority Families has become one of the four key priorities for the Health and Wellbeing Board's planning this year, and we expect that to be translated into the formal strategy next year. Probably the strongest of the four key priority sets within the Health and Wellbeing Board strategy, and that's of benefit to us, as you probably understand, and I'll say a word about that later. And its decision-making powers, I'll just end the presentation with a word or two about that. I think the way in which the Health and Wellbeing Board in Nottingham is developing is really quite critical to the future of Priority Families, and as I say, they're mutually beneficial. Word or two about the Priority Families programme, which is the middle bullet there. It's based on our Total Place pilot work. We've got other colleagues from the East Midlands region in the room who've been involved in Total Place piloting. About 18 months' worth of work there to get some real intelligence around the services to families in Nottingham. And it's a very similar story to what we've heard earlier, perhaps even more complex than we've heard earlier in terms of multi-service responses not quite joining up as well as you'd want to and some duplication of effort. Family intervention programme in Nottingham is very well regarded, has some good outcomes associated with it, and we're building on some of that good practice in Priority Families. Really key point, we're investing in the staff group. We've got a two-phase programme in Nottingham, so phase one is building on what we already do. We're trying to upskill our staff group in some different ways of working, different ways of thinking, with a mind to investing more formally in the following 2 years, starting in 2013. The key worker model you've already heard about, doubtless thousands of times, an individual taking overall responsibility for the family's outcomes is something we're aiming for. 10 years of Every Child Matters didn't quite get there, so that's a really big ask, but that's one of the things that we're looking at very closely and want to try and deliver. Team around the family, of course. Priority actions is just a really quick phrase we've developed to describe what the FIT already do very well, the two or three really key actions that are going to get the family moving in the right direction, prioritising those and putting our effort into those, and that's something we're driving very hard in Nottingham. Culture change, which I guess slightly surprisingly we haven't heard much about, and I really appreciate Linda's comments earlier about the Youth Offending Service and learning from that. I think part of the issue here very much is around culture change and getting staff to work in a different way and challenging some of those time-honoured service responsibilities and ways of working. In terms of leadership, We've got a triumvirate, Nottingham City Council, of which I'm the lead person in Nottingham, police chief superintendent, who's the city commander, and our community health provider are called CityCare Social Enterprise. We work as a triumvirate and lead the programme collectively, which is working extremely well at the moment. And so that's some of the backdrop to priority families in Nottingham, just for context to what else I want to say. So in terms of rationale, why have we designed it like this? Why are we governing health and priority families through the Health and Wellbeing Board in its shadow form? There are a number of, I think, fairly straightforward points. The first is that the Children and People's Partnership arrangements no longer statutory, and some or all of those will transfer into some of the structures in the Health and Wellbeing Board, so it makes good sense tactically to start to do that and start to line those agendas up. Secondly, bridging the funding gap, what I'm really referring to there is the great expense, particularly in specialist children's services we've heard about this morning, but also in the adult world, particularly with elderly population and getting older and more expensive. And that's really where we're trying to position this agenda in the broader health and social care agenda in Nottingham, and tens of millions of pounds invested in that per year in the city. The interrelationship between complex needs, we shouldn't forget. There are 66 or 68, I couldn't remember, indicators already in the public health outcome set that you'll have noticed, probably those of you who are involved in it, and many of those are very familiar to us in the priority families world, and social behaviour and attendance and so on. So there's an interrelationship there that we really mustn't, in my view, in Nottingham ignore, and we're not going to. We're taking the opportunity to have a fourth criteria on top of the three standard ones that the Troubled Families Agenda has, and we're developing one around mental health, which has come through our joint strategic needs assessment, and that's really going to help join us together with our health providers and commissioners in Nottingham. There's overall agreement across all those partnerships that we need to change culturally. That's not a negative point about Nottingham. We have some fantastic practice in the city, but it is about doing things differently, and a theme of the morning has been that will need to take place, and that won't take 5 minutes to achieve. Interestingly, priority families is becoming a bit of a driver for other commissioning intentions in Nottingham City. Some of the key parameters that I described on the previous slide are the same in some other work that we're doing in recommissioning services. So we've got one called Safe from Harm at the moment, which pulls together domestic violence, youth offending, those kinds of environments. And the same kinds of issues are coming up, as you'd expect, in relation to integrated assessment, key working and so on. So again, another reason why it makes sense to bring those in through the Health and Wellbeing Board is that the same key themes coming through. And then finally, I guess on this slide, Priority Families is helping to develop the Shadow Health and Wellbeing Board arrangements. It is for us in Nottingham, and it's probably not an outcome we expected, but it's working really well for us in that way. It's enabling us to have more interesting conversations about these complex needs environments than perhaps we even thought we would have when we first set the board up in shadow form. So what has changed? A really key slide. You'd expect me to say better engagement and support, particularly between the local authority and health commissioners and providers. There's a bit more to it than that, but that's a really simple way of describing it. There's some emerging agreements about key issues. We've identified six priority neighbourhoods in Nottingham that we want to start with, and we have started with in our first cohort of priority families. And we gained agreement for that through the Health and Wellbeing Board with our health providers and commissioners, a full part of that discussion, and that's a really quite important point for us, embedding those locality issues in a broader context. The framework for political governance in Nottingham is very well written in the Health and Wellbeing Board. It's got strong political engagement and cross-portfolio engagement, which helps us. So running across children's services, adult services, community safety and health portfolios really helps us to have more involved and profitable conversations at an earlier stage. We've managed to negotiate formal delegation of particular elements of the programme through the Health and Wellbeing Board, and information sharing would be a good example of that. And then, as I say, Priority Families is already influencing other commissioning intentions. I won't repeat that point. The final bullet there is about high profile, high risk. Embedding the Priority Families programme within the Health and Wellbeing Board raises its profile in the city, which is a good thing. But of course, the flip side to that coin is deliverability is more greatly under pressure. It raises higher risk. And I think it's a slightly more difficult environment, more complex environment to manage than what you might say would be a traditional council committee structure. In terms of risks, this is a largely untested leadership environment, and there's nothing scares a senior local government officer more than an untested leadership environment. that seems to me to be an entirely positive thing, because we're being able to help develop the board and the way it works in unison with the programme. But it is a slightly more of a high wire act than perhaps we would previously have taken. There's a joint understanding of the clinical and LA world to really raise here. This is about how we understand our language. The clinical language and the language of local government are very different, as you'll probably know. And there are some real specifics to that, I think, particularly in relation to the balance between delivering services to the individual as opposed to delivering services to the greater benefit of the whole community. And that's really important in Nottingham, and that's a live and very full discussion. The speed of programme setup, of course, we're very grateful for the opportunity, but it's meant that the risks are higher in delivering quicker. It's a premium product within the Health and Wellbeing Board, and we've got to deliver on it in order to demonstrate the Health and Wellbeing Board is alive and well and doing what it needs to do. We have very high aspirations for the programme in Nottingham. I mentioned about the culture change, and as a result, we've raised expectations, and there are concerns around that, but I think that's probably the right thing to do, because the key facets of the programme run throughout all of our change in Nottingham. And of course, there's no guarantee of success. And then just by way of conclusion, I think I've said already, the board is very tricky to manage, and that all of those involved in it would probably agree with that, but presents far greater opportunities for us in Nottingham, at least. I don't know about other local authority areas. And as a result, it's a series of actions certainly worth taking. The true tests are absolutely yet to come, particularly around the payment by results models that we're developing in the background at the moment, those local payment by results models that I think one or two delegates have already talked about. And deploying resources differently. We've got some in-principle agreements with providers about joint funding particular pieces of work, particularly around edge of care, which have come through and grown through the Health and Wellbeing Board discussion. And that for me, is some really strong green shoots that those arrangements are starting to work for us in Nottingham. So just to emphasise the point, those two environments for us are mutually beneficial, but do significantly raise the risk, I guess, for the programme, and that's something that I'm delighted to have a lead role in managing. And then finally, I just want to make a point about the executive powers of the Health and Wellbeing Board. At the moment, it's in shadow form. It will have full executive status next year, but we've deliberately designed into our board in Nottingham what you might call a safety valve. So any key decision around funding and any key strategic decision will still need overall support from the two boards, so the council executive and the CCG, the clinical commissioning group. Now that might seem like a very risk-averse approach, and actually I felt that when I first came to Nottingham, but the reverse is true. It actually enables us to have a much more full and frank partnership discussion at the Health and Wellbeing Board, because those fears aren't necessarily there right at the beginning about how we're going to change our funding arrangements over time, and that's certainly been my experience. So for me, to finish, that demonstrates for us we're on the right journey in Nottingham in terms of the strength of our partnership relationships, and with those risks indicated, I think for Nottingham we've planted the Priority Families programme in the right leadership environment. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.